Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments or questions you'd like to make during this broadcast, feel free to write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. So to our listeners first, let me wish you a happy holiday season. For those of you who are celebrating Passover and for those of you who are celebrating Easter, it's a time of renewal. It's springtime, warm weather, they claim is coming. Not quite sure because they're predicting snow here for tomorrow morning in Philadelphia. But I do know it's on its way. That sun is shining. So I want to mention also, we're only 4 weeks away from my healing weekend. Wow, I'm so excited about this. Meeting old friends, meeting some new friends, women who all are there for the same reason, because they need to heal by sharing and by having similar experiences. And we have some therapeutic work sessions. It's a wonderful experience. It's right outside of Washington, D.C., and there's still time to get in on this if you'd like to. We have another couple seats available. So if you are interested, please let me know at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Well, without any further ado, I have a very special guest tonight. And our histories go back a couple of years. And my special guest is Dr. Maggie Benet. And welcome to our show tonight, Maggie.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, I really appreciate your being here because you were such a wonderful support to some of our women a few years ago who met you as you were traveling through your dissertation for your doctorate, and they
yes.
were just so impressed with the work that you were doing, and they just felt so much better after talking to you, so that I knew that when you would start your own practice, that I knew that people who were coming to you would be in the best of hands. I very, very rarely get so much wonderful feedback about anybody through this whole system like I received on you from the women who worked with you on that project. So maybe you can tell us a little bit first about yourself and your story.
Well, I will tell you, the honor was entirely, entirely mine, and I will get further into it later, but I have never met such an amazing group of women and sisterhood, and I have a lot of it to thank you for, Bonnie, because you really helped jumpstart this journey for me. Well, I'll tell you, for my own story, it's it was rather selfish in a way, the way that I started my study, the interest that I had with the study, with pursuing the study. I hate to say it, but it's true. It was a bit of a selfish pursuit because I had been in a relationship where I was experiencing a lot of confusion. I was in the relationship for about 10 years. And for most of the 10 years, I was in a sexless marriage. And needless to say, when you are going through something where you are feeling that you are alone, maybe that you have a problem with you, you start judging yourself, you start losing confidence in yourself. And you start thinking, maybe there really is a problem with you. And I was confused. I would talk to my friends, and they just would say, well, maybe you're not doing this. Maybe you're not doing that. I'll give you an example. For most of the time, I got married in December of 2000. By March of 2001, my husband told me, I'm just not feeling you. And we are pretty much newlyweds, and he didn't want to have sex with me. He did not want to engage in any kind of sexual activity with me. And that left me somewhat perplexed. And, of course, lo and behold, little by little, your confidence depletes. So this went on for about 10 years, and I just was completely confused and had absolutely no idea where that was coming from. So when I heard about there was a group of women who were considered that were self-identified as straight wives, I wanted to meet these women. I wanted to get to know these women and find out, am I alone? Am I the only person who is not talking about it? Am I the only person who feels like nobody understands? So that is really what jumpstart my journey to do this research study to find out, are there other women like myself who are not getting the support they need because they don't feel like anybody understands them? So
let me ask you a question just to go back a little bit. How long did you know your husband before you married him?
I knew my husband for quite some time before I married him. We were part of the same church. We were friends. We both were dating, not dating seriously, but just dating casually through the church protocol. And we were pretty good friends, but we actually had absolutely no contact meaning no intimate contact prior to getting married because we were part of a church that did not, did not allow it.
I think that really confuses many women because we've had many women in the same situation that they come from a good church background. They meet someone and the person's not all over them. And, you know, they're thinking, well, this person really loves me for who I am, not as a piece of flesh or not as someone to have sex with. And I think that often that women who are part of these churches, are really prototypes for men who are looking to hide behind something because you wouldn't necessarily suspect anything just because a guy is being decent to you prior to the time of marriage. Would you say that's true?
That is absolutely correct. And hiding behind that was a perfect setup for him. And it wasn't until that we were married for about 4 years. And because things were just so difficult, I thought I could find some geographical cure by moving out of state into another state and starting all over. And when we did, we were not as connected with the church in that new state as we were before. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the same support system. We didn't have the same social setup. And so it was a little bit easier for him to disconnect from the church and then disconnect from me. And that's when I really began to see a lot of the behaviors that many women describe in the husbands that they marry who are gay.
Did you suspect it was gay in the beginning or no?
If I want to be honest with myself, the answer is maybe. There were certain characteristics that I would question, and even after we got married, I would question certain things. I would talk about the way the hand movements or the walk, and my grandmother even used to ask me all the time, why does your husband walk like this, or why this, why that? And I did ask him questions. I did ask him if he ever had any kind of experiences or any thoughts, or if anything ever even happened in childhood that might create these behaviors, and he would always say no. But I think deep down, I did.
Yeah, in fact, I have a newsletter that's going out, you know, in the next day or two. And one of the things I write about this on this particular subject is that, you know, we think we know what gay is because we're socialized today, especially more so than before. But even when I was younger, gay meant same-sex attractions. This is how I grew up, thinking that there are people who are homosexual. That means they're going to go with somebody who's the same sex. It was never within my sphere of understanding that a gay person would want to be with a straight woman. This was not something that computed for me in my head. It didn't even make sense. I knew a lot of gay people, and they were with other gay people. So I think that we don't understand homosexuality, and even I always say to women, you know, be honest about it. Even if we had suspicions, we didn't understand gay. We felt that, you know, people could change, right?
Absolutely.
And especially with the church, a lot of the times they say, you know, if you pray hard enough, it will change.
And you know what, Bonnie, that was part of the reason why I probably dismissed it, because in our church, there were quite a few men who came into the church openly gay, and they helped them overcome their gayness, supposedly. And I knew many of you guys who actually denounced their sexual orientation, got married for a few years. Of course, I found out later on many of them also got divorced and went back to the lifestyle. But at that particular time, I truly believe that people did change, and I truly did believe that if they did desire to change their sexual orientation, they could, because that's what we were taught.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when my ex-husband said that he was okay, then he was okay.
And you know what? It's not to say that they didn't want to change themselves, but, you know, you can't change what is, as I always like to say. And you can try
and
to fool Mother Nature, but Mother Nature is not fooling you. I mean, you know what you are. And you can pretend that you're not, and you can really try not to be, but the bottom line will always be the bottom line. You can't be what you're not, no matter how hard you try.
I agree with you. And it is an unfortunate situation, because a lot of these people did believe that the change could happen, and they strived really hard to deny themselves. It just did not work out like that, because it is innate. It is something that was a part of who they are. It's their authentic self, and they denied that for so long that either ultimately they went back to the lifestyle or they lived a miserable life.
Right. I call them dry gayaholics. It's like dry alcoholics. You know, you can stop drinking, but you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life. And the same with this. I know men who swear to me they've given, not that they've changed who they are, but they've sacrificed it for the marriage. But they're not happy, but they feel stuck in the marriage, so they're just making the best out of it. So who's happy in these kinds of marriages where somebody feels like they're a chained prisoner? Certainly not the person they feel who's doing the chaining to them, right?
Exactly. And neither is happy. The wife is not happy. The husband is not happy.
Right, exactly.
So both people are miserable in these marriages, and you have a home that is very unhealthy, and that would pretty much describe my household. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think also maybe you can mention this since you do family counseling. I am a very big believer that children copy what they see. And if you stay in an abusive situation, that that becomes your normal, and that when you make your future choices in your life, that you're going to accept less than what you deserve because you think that's what you're supposed to do. Do you find that in your work?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I say to women frequently, the very reason you stay, which frequently are the children, is the very reason you must leave. Because you think you're protecting the children, you think you're doing them, you know, it's to their benefit that you remain in the marriage so they can have two people in the home, two parents in the home. But then in the end, they're witnessing these behaviors that are unhealthy, and this is what you are modeling for them. And for the very reason you stay, you leave, because you are doing a disservice to your children when you stay in a relationship that is unhealthy, and that is what they have to go by, because that's what they learn, and that's what they will exhibit in the future in their own relationship. The need to tolerate.
Well, I tell women,
Right.
I say, let this be your guideline. If you have a daughter and you love her very much, no doubt, or if you don't have a daughter, you have a sister. If one of them came to you and said, we're getting married, and you were all excited, and you would say, what kind of guy are you marrying? And she would say, one just like daddy, or one just like your husband. How would you react to her? I mean, would you tell her, oh, I'm so happy for you? Or would you tell her, turn around and run? And always the answer is the same. Yeah, I mean, the answer is always the same. I would tell her to run. So I say, if it's not good enough for her, why are you living in this relationship? You know, why would you expect her to run when you're staying? I mean, you know, that's not giving the right message. And I think that really is like an eye-opener for a lot of the women that I work with, because they never think of it that way.
I never really thought of it that way. That's something I will be using because it is a
very really effective. I find it very, even with the gay men who I work with, I say to them, would you want your daughter to grow up and marry a man just like you? And he said, damn, and they always say, no, I don't want her marrying somebody like me. I said, well, then why are you staying in this marriage? I mean, what is she's supposed to think this is acceptable. You know, you want better for your children than to be unhappy. Right?
Absolutely. I never really thought of it that way, but that makes perfect sense. And when you bring it home at that level where you can relate, I think, someone will be more apt to buy into it that way, at least in my opinion. Like, if I had to think of it that
way.
Yeah, they
do. Trust me. They really buy into it because they see it. Yeah, they mean that they never look at it that way. And, you know, a lot of women think they're being stoic by remaining in these horrible marriages where they're just ruining their lives day by day. And, you know, they're crying. And another thing you can bring up, you know, maybe expand on this a little bit. When women will tell you, well, my children don't know that I'm upset. My children don't see me crying. They think everything's okay. I laugh when they tell me that, but you can tell me what you think.
Well, I personally disagree with that. And on the surface, it may appear as if they don't know. But children are incredibly skilled in being able to pick up your energy. So the energy in the home is going to be really volatile, toxic, unhealthy. And whether or not you realize that, the children are seeing the things that you don't think they're seeing, the things that are unspoken, your behavior, your mood. You're not going to be happy. They may not see you cry, but you can pretend to be laughing, but they can feel the energy is entirely different because you are not being authentic to yourself. And children can pick up when people are not being authentic and real. So I honestly, no, I don't think it's a wise decision. Now, mind you, we do believe that that's helpful. I know for myself at times I might have thought, well, maybe I can keep it away from them. But in reality, and even my children will be reminding, no, we knew this was going on. We knew that was going on. And we try to protect them. We do our best and we mean well. But unfortunately, the truth of the matter is they do pick up on it. Your energy is going to radiate throughout your household, whether you realize it or not.
And today, children are so sophisticated. You know, it really hurts me, and it really does, when I have an adult child come to me, because I work with some of the young adult children from gay fathers, and they say to me, you know, they were so sickened by the fact that they found out about their dads, you know, because of their computer activity, and they share computers, and and some of them confront their fathers, and their fathers reply to them, well, if you tell your mother, then it's going to break up the marriage, and then she'll be miserable, and we'll have a broken family, and they're the carrier of the secret, which to me is the worst thing that anybody could do to a child, because after effects of that, I've worked with so many of these young adults who are very screwed up from this whole process and blown away that they had to lie to their mothers to keep, you know, protect their fathers, because they were manipulated into that situation because they didn't want to be the ones responsible for breaking up the family. And that's why I really do believe that, you know, these marriages go on, and I'm not saying that people do it for the wrong reasons. I know they're hoping it's going to work. But when it doesn't work, you have to be okay with that, to just say, there's a problem here. I didn't realize it when I married you, but I can't, you know, be what I'm not. And, you know, you have to be honest about it and not manipulate your children to have to be the, you know, keeper of the secret. But getting back to what you were saying before about the women who, you know, try to hide it, but you know there's something different. You know, kids watch TV. They see what loving families look like. And when your family doesn't look like that, there's no affection, maybe a peck on the cheek, but the children can tell when there's nothing going on, and they know something's wrong. Wouldn't you say that's pretty true?
I think so. That's absolutely correct. You know, even for my own personal, in my own personal life, my children were grown. I did have some that were a little bit younger, but they were at least within their, my youngest was 6 when I got married. But even she was able to tell that something was going on. And towards the end, I pretty much was losing my children, which is what got me to wake up and said, enough is enough, and you can't continue to do this to yourself. They were not the same mother they had. They saw a woman that they did not recognize, and it hurt them so much. Like the older ones, they pretty much were staying away from me. And I did not realize that until I inquired about it, and they're like, we just can't do this. We can't be around this. And that really was an awakening time for me.
I think these marriages take away who we are. And, you know, slowly we deteriorate. I always describe it like the onion peel. You take off one layer at a time, whether it's, first of all, sexual rejection, then emotional rejection, then physical rejection. You know, the layers just keep coming off until you become somebody who you don't even recognize yourself. And I know that happened to me. I was a strong woman before that marriage. I was a very strong woman. And I was only married for a few years, and I became a dish rag, as I like to call it. I mean, I couldn't stand up for myself anymore because I just couldn't, because I felt so inadequate, and anything I said was wrong, and I questioned myself on everything, and yet, you know, I just never could gain myself back until after the marriage ended. But do you feel that you lost yourself also along that route?
I totally had lost myself along that route. I try to change who I am to in order for me to accommodate husband, and no matter which way I tried to change, it did not work. Whether it be my look, I was rather too heavy, my hair was too short, my hair was too long, or it never really was too long, it was always too short. I thought he preferred women with long hair, so I always wore extensions in order to be more appealing to him. That did not work. When I attempted to pursue my education or further my education, that was a problem. When I got different jobs, that was a problem. It almost seemed like no matter what you did, you were going to be in the wrong anyways. And the level of confusion and frustration combined was just overwhelming. It was just really crazy. I tried to be somebody that I was not. I tried to act certain ways that I normally wouldn't, just so that I can be a lot more appealing to him, especially when you're going through sexual rejection as a woman. That is really, really rough. When a man is telling you they do not desire you, they do not want to be with you, that really blows you, and it blows my mind completely, and it really tore me up. My confidence level was next to nothing when it came to my femininity. And so for me, that probably was one of the hardest. And the way I try to compensate for that was by having more education, and maybe that will make me feel better. But there's something to be said about feeling feminine as a woman, no matter what you do.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to compensate.
These guys
for
just
it.
Kill your feminine spirit. These guys kill your feminine spirit, and they rob you of what's rightfully yours, as I always say. And that's probably what I resent most of all. You know, it's like with my ex-husband, he used to say to me, what are you, a nymphomaniac? Because I'd want to make love with him, you know, in the beginning, maybe twice a week. You know, and
yes.
He made me feel so bad about it that after a while, you know, and then he'd say other things to discourage me. And I think taking away what's rightfully a woman's right is to have, you know, her feminine spirit and sexuality, and to break that down. And I think in your research, you probably found that happens in almost all cases. That,
yes,
to me, is the worst, that you lose who you are because you no longer feel that you're worthwhile. Nothing's worse than sexual rejection by a man.
That is so true. The feeling of inadequacy was definitely a theme that radiated throughout the study, the research study. I think every single woman that I spoke to felt that they were made to feel inadequate, that they were never enough, particularly as a woman.
Now, since you started your practicing, have you worked with any gay men who are in this situation?
I have not worked with any gay men in this situation. I would definitely be happy to, but I have not had the opportunity. I have presented myself as a sex-positive therapist. I do not pass judgment.
Uh-huh.
Although I do have an issue with someone utilizing another person to cover up their sexual orientation because they are not ready to deal with the way society views them.
Right.
But unfortunately, I have not had a man who is like in the position. I have had women who are married to men that they suspect may be gay, but they're still unsure about the situation and have not been ready to leave as of yet.
You know, the thing is that when a man will totally tell you that, no, I am not gay, you're crazy, you know, they call it gaslighting, mm-hmm. I call it gay lighting. But, you know, they're making you try to think that you're crazy because you're onto their truth. That so many women are just doubting everything about everything. And I always tell women, you know what, you got to trust your instincts. If you know something's off in your marriage and you know something's wrong, you know, try to open up your mind and see the big picture. Because a lot of times women just aren't wanting to look at that picture because that's the worst possible picture you could look at. And the reason is because there's no way to fix that picture. You can't make it work. It's going to keep breaking. And women love their husbands. It's not like they marry them because they just have to get married. They love these men. And they don't want to break up a marriage and a family. And once you say
right.
the word gay, it's kind of like a death sentence, wouldn't you say so?
In a way, yes. For a lot of women, yes. I have had women who, and very, 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 very few, I mean maybe one out of 25, where a woman said, well, I found out my husband was gay, but I was willing to stay in the marriage and make it work. And for her, it was not a death sentence. But the unfortunate thing is, it was very difficult to compete with another man because you could never become a male yourself. And so over time, you still find that you're creating there's issue in the relationship. And I'm not saying it can never work. I just personally have not encountered anyone for whom it has worked, because even when they're trying to make it work with the full disclosure that, yes, I am gay, I will not do things behind your back. I will not this, I will not that, or I can attempt to be bisexual. What has happened is that the man still finds that his greater attraction is to a man and end up with the same amount of infidelity, dishonesty, going behind the woman's back to be with a man, even though they agreed to be in an open relationship. So for whatever reason, and I honestly can't even explain why, because I have not interviewed or tried to do research with gay men who continuously go back and forth like that. For whatever reason, there's still a problem in the marriage.
Well, a lot of these men are emotionally straight but physically gay. You know, so there's all variations of gay. And I'm not going to say there's all levels like Dr. Kinsey makes up this whole scale. But, you know, I do believe there's what I call the straight gay men. You know, they have to be straight on the outside, but sexually they are gay. These are your serial marriers. They're going to just keep marrying people once they divorce. Once, if you get a divorce, and I know a lot of our women get so upset because they get married again and they start doubting themselves. Why would he marry somebody else? And why did he change? No, he didn't change. He's going to leave the same hell you led. But, you know, they need that cover of being a straight person. So, I mean, you have men like that. These bisexual men, you want to call yourself bisexual, fine. But when you look for ads on Craigslist, don't tell me you're looking for another woman. I know what you're looking for, and it's not another woman. So you can call yourself bisexual just because you can perform like a seal with your wife once in a while to throw her off track. But there are marriages that do stay together a small amount where people are okay with the situation because they have their own issues. And, you know, those marriages are more like codependent kinds of marriages. Like, for instance, I had a woman, you know, a few years ago who has a gay husband. She's fine with it. She was very badly sexually abused growing up through sexual rape and violence. And so she's very happy not to have somebody who wants to have sex with her. And they are good friends. And so, you know, she's making it work in that sense. But I don't like people thinking that's how things really are, because that's the exception. It's not even close to being a rule or even close to any rule. These marriages as a whole just don't work. They weren't set up to work. It's like putting a giraffe with an alligator. I mean, it's just not going to work. You know, when you come from two different sides of what your goals are, it's not going to work. And, you know, you can try to make it work, but just I always say to women, every day you lose in a marriage to a gay man is a day of your life you could never get back. You know, I know that it's hard to break up a marriage. It's hard to, if you're scary. And don't forget, a lot of these women aren't dealing from a position of strength. They've already been beaten down by the time they find out. So they don't even have the confidence they need to start with, right?
I agree. I mean, you definitely are beaten down. Most of the women that I'm, in fact, I would say all of the women that I interviewed during this research felt really violated. They felt like they were completely made to feel, like I said, one of the biggest themes was inadequacy, where there was always a sense that it was never enough. They felt isolated. They felt lesser than. It was always their fault that something was wrong. So by the time you do find out, you are completely depleted. And if you're not completely depleted, you're very close to being completely depleted. Absolutely.
One of the things I realized in your report, you know, in your report, because you were kind enough to send it to me, was that there seemed to be, you know, as you phrased it, that straight wives feel victimized by their former spouse. And the emotional needs of straight wives are generally overlooked by society. And this is my whole thing. You know, we are a very select minority group that receives the least amount of attention or sympathy, because people think that in some bizarre way, that we created that situation ourselves. That, you know, either they weren't gay when they married us, or we must have known they were gay because everybody else knew it. I mean, people are so judgmental that when you tell this to somebody and then they come back at you and say, well, how could you not know? I mean, I knew. Everybody knew except you. You know, so by the time they're finished with you, you're further back in that closet than your husband is, because now he's out, but you're back in. So, you know, it's kind of sad to me to see that with every other group, I was hoping against hope now that the whole thing came out with the Me Too campaign with all the actresses and then all of the athletes, that it has to be very horrible to get up and say, I've been sexually abused. But when the people did it in numbers, all of a sudden it took on a new cause. And that's why I was hoping that straight wives maybe would be inspired by that, not to have to be afraid to say anything and be intimidated by it. But It's not really working too well. They still feel really glad they're and
I'm surprised that this has, I was very, very surprised to see how hard it was to find straight wives who were willing to speak about their story, who were willing to share their stories or speak to others about what they were going through. I was very, very surprised. For some reason, they carry the shame more than the man who is feeling stigmatized by society. They feel even so much more shame that they're not even willing to talk to their friends about it. I was under the impression, I live in Atlanta, and when I was doing the research study, I was in Atlanta, and people said, oh, you will have absolutely no problem finding people. They are everywhere because there are so many women who are married to men in Atlanta who are called on the down low. So just go to a bar, go this, go that. I could not find a person. I found one person in Atlanta. Everyone else was outside of Atlanta. And when you try to find people to share their stories, I had many people who said, I have a friend who knows who's in this situation. They will talk to you. And they were unwilling to talk to me. They were ashamed of being in such a situation because of the way society said, just what you said, because society blamed them, felt like you should have known that this was the situation, and or tell them that in you, how did you not know? How could you not tell? It's very similar to domestic violence, where women in domestic violence situations are the ones who are ashamed to talk about their issues because they feel stigmatized by people. They are criticized by society rather than to have someone said, wow, I'm sorry for what you're going through and what can we do to make it better. Instead, you get blamed for the situation that you're in.
And then there's also the issue that what really upsets me is that women feel they have to not hurt their husbands by telling people. So now your husband's gay. He's left you for another man. He's leading an openly gay life. But you don't want to tell anybody because you don't want him to get hurt. What?
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't matter that he's leading an openly gay life, but you're still protecting him even after they've done nothing to protect you. And in many of these cases, I don't know about, you know, how you found it in all of your research, but in many cases, these guys just go. They're not necessarily very financially responsible to their wives or emotionally responsible, you know, and I understand they feel like they've been penned up for 10, 20, 30 years living a life that's not theirs. But now they're leaving because they've met somebody, and that's usually the men who come to me. They've already met somebody, and they want to find a way out of their marriage. And I get a few hundred each year that I work with, and I tell them, you need to do it the right way and do the right thing, and then it can work out. It's never going to be a happy day when you have to give this news. But at least you have something to work with for your future as far as co-parenting, as far as doing the right thing, as far as having your kids, you know, think highly of you. You have to keep supporting the family. You had a family. That should be your priority, not just your life. But did you find, or are you finding in, you know, your situations that it's not necessarily what happens?
It was not necessarily what happened. Unfortunately, many who left either left on very bad terms, or frequently what I had encountered was that they ended up marrying or moving in with another woman. So, just as you mentioned earlier, so the cycle continues, where in order to keep stay in the closet, unfortunately, as people say, that they end up marrying another woman. But when they did move on to being with another man, the situation became even more volatile. As far as financial issues, they either were completely cut off. I'm talking about women were completely cut off from financial support. They were left with absolutely nothing. Many women came from very affluent backgrounds when they were married and ended up having to give everything when this man moved in with his partner, with his male partner. And it was really, really heartbroken when I encountered those situations. And there were quite a few where the women were, when we talk about being victimized, they never felt like they were victims, but they were definitely victimized in many ways. And not only was it emotionally, but definitely financially. It was really hard.
Very hard. And I think that happens in the majority of cases, that people don't realize how hard it is to give up everything you thought was happening in your life. You know, you were married somebody in good faith, you love that person, you've been a good wife. And I always say that straight wives make the best wives because they try that much harder. Do you agree?
I totally agree. It is an amazing group. And I'm not just saying that because I'm one, but the many women that I've met, and that's probably why, again, this is opinion. There is no research to back this up, but I really sense, and I walked away feeling like there is a reason why so many of us attract men who are gay, because we are amazing people. We believe in other people. We're very nurturing, very caring, very loyal. That has been a characteristic that I observe in almost every single one of the women I spoke to. And for that reason, we're really wonderful targets, unfortunately, for a lot of these men, because they can see these characteristics and they took advantage of those rather than to appreciate it. They took advantage of the great characteristics of many of the straight wives. Again, my research study was had a very small group of participants, but if that is a representation of most of the straight wives out there, I would say that, yes, these are wonderful wives because they're very caring, very loving people. Very loyal. And so their loyalty is what keeps them from talking about their husbands, from slandering their husbands, and keeping their husband's secrets. And I can tell you, up until today, I have kept my husband's secret to some degree.
Well, I won't tell him. I promise.
I think, you know,
I won't be calling him after this conversation.
And I would so appreciate it. But please, by all means, when he called me and found when I graduated and I completed the study, and he asked me, so what was your study done? And I told him what it was about. He has not spoken to me again. It's 3 years since I last heard from him.
Oh, well, then this won't make it any worse for sure. Yeah, but that's the good news that I have to tell you. One of the things that I just said, you know, like I mentioned to you in this newsletter that I have coming out, and I thought that this was such a good point. Living their lie with them is different than living their lie for them. So it's one thing when you're living with them and you have to keep this a secret. But when I say go, you don't have to keep it. I mean, it's their secret if they want to keep it. But this is what happens. And I tell the women, you're not under any obligation at any point not to tell the people who are part of your support system. You lived his lie with him for 10, 20, 30 or more years. Now it's time for you to start living your truth, and that you don't have to remain in his closet hiding when he's out living his, quote, authentic life. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. And it's interesting. You know, generally we talk about, because of the way society is, that gay people tend to be in the closet. But it was an interesting discovery for me to see, and that's a term that I actually walked away with. I was like, wow, these men came out, but we are still in the closet.
Exactly. And I don't know how to change that, but I'm really working on it. I am working on it. But one of the things that we've done, we've caused a whole lot of. I think part of the problem is that, you know, the laws don't favor us. And these marriages, to me, should have different kinds of considerations because, you know, the whole issue of no-fault divorce, I don't like it when there is fault. You know, it makes you feel more like a victim. Now you have to have no fault on top of it. You know, you did everything right in the marriage, and now you're getting divorced, but there's no blame and there's no fault anywhere. And I think that really does a disservice to the women who are in the situation. And like I said, in this country, there's about 4 million of us, so it's not just a little isolated group. You know, 4 million women is a lot of women, right?
It is. So, you know, you talk about the Me Too movement, and honestly, Bonnie, I'm thinking and I'm hoping that more and more women, and maybe we just need to talk more, maybe we do need to get a platform of our own, I do mm-hmm. feel that this is a special group of women that are to be, like, our situations are entirely different. And, you know, when you think about when a man have an affair with another woman, you might try to figure out how do you remedy the situation? What do you as a woman need to do in order to probably save your marriage? But when you're talking about a man having an affair with another man, anatomically you could never compete. There's just no way that nothing you can do, you know. And so when
yeah,
you
that's
are
true.
Going,
but you know, even with the woman part, you know, people say, mm-hmm. "Well, with a man you can never compete." Well, you're not really competing. That's who he is. But I have news mm-hmm. to tell you: once a man's out there cheating on you with another woman, there's not much you can do either. But it just is so much more hurtful when you find out it's a man, only in the sense that we are not socialized and brought up that this is the way of life. And we've now entrusted mm-hmm. our whole lives into a marriage with someone who we believe to be, could be our husband for the rest of our lives. That's when we get married, what we're thinking. And it goes far beyond this. I think that the women who go through these kinds of marriages are totally different than other women who are in other kinds of marriages because of all the other issues that go with this as far as the mm-hmm. sexual, you know, it's a form of sexual abuse when you're taking away a woman's, you know, feminine spirit, but also just the lack of love in the marriage, just the questioning all the time, walking on all those eggshells and crushing them as you're walking, accepting crumbs that will never be even a piece of cake or a cookie. You know, it's just the crumbs you're getting. And I found, mm-hmm. I have found that many of these men are really narcissistic in their behaviors, you know, because they're living a life that's not theirs to start with, so they are focusing more on themselves and their needs because they're not getting it out of the marriage because that's not where they should be to start with. So, you know, when you're living with a narcissistic personality or in some cases, you know, antisocial behavior for some of these marriages, mm-hmm. you know, it's that much tougher. I mean, it's not even like you have an equal footing anywhere. And that's mm-hmm. why I think these marriages just wear you down so much. But I wish women wouldn't feel the shame. And like I said, we started something in our group called We Too, not Me Too, but We Too, that we too have, you know, rights, that we too need to stand up. And, you know, we've done a survey this year. We've had a number of volunteers from the group. And I want to get some laws changed, you know, and there are people, like I say, who need to understand that our cause is different than other causes and that we should at least be acknowledged for that. And maybe then we wouldn't have to hide so much. But now it's like, you know, there's such a stigma still attached to this. There's not a stigma in being gay. There's just a stigma mm-hmm. in being a gay, you know, the wife of an ex, you know, gay mm-hmm. man.
Yes.
So and that's where we're going to have to start. It's going to be a long battle.
Because you are an unwilling victim, like every other victim.
Exactly.
You are an unwilling victim. You are in a situation that you did not ask for. And your mm-hmm. entire life, you have been robbed of your entire life in some instances mm-hmm. because there are many women who are finding out after 20, 30, 40 years, even 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a whole life that you have lost because somebody unwillingly, you know, you unbeknownst to you took away everything that you had. And when you do find out, your life is practically has already fallen apart. And you cannot rebuild that. You can't get it back. And there has to be something.
And you know
that
what? You're
right.
You know, one of the women in our group, we have a support group, you know, online, private group.
Yeah.
The other day she said, you know, I'm now 60-some years old, and it's nice to say start your life over. I've just given 40 years into a life that I thought I had. You know, how do I get mm-hmm. past that to have to start a new life at this point in my life, you know? And it's so sad because it's the truth. You know, when you live with somebody who puts you down for 40-some years, it makes you feel like you're the one who's at fault, and then the truth comes out that it was a gay thing. You know, how are mm-hmm. you supposed to feel that all those years of suffering were so unnecessary just because he couldn't be honest with you?
Exactly.
So I think there's so many issues. So let's talk about what you're doing in Atlanta. You have your practice now, right?
Yes, I do. I have joined a group of therapists over at Petrichor Counseling in Duluth, and I'm really excited. And one of my specialty is sexuality. Well, well, straight wives, and it's interesting because when I said that I specialize in straight wives, in providing services to straight wives, many people are like, what the heck is that? We've never heard the term. And then, of course, I have to go on and explain how it is the way that some women self-identify, and these are women who are or were married to men who are gay and who are later are found out to be gay because they did not personally choose to marry a man who is gay. But very few people have heard of the terminology of straight wives, to my surprise. So it is something that still need to be out there. And then the other thing is being able to be a therapist who is empathetic and who has the skills to work with straight wives. I don't have too many in the field right now that I'm familiar with, at least not in Atlanta, who are working with straight wives. That is definitely a service that I am providing, and I'm hoping and looking to be able to start a support group, because one of the things I know is that a lot of the women have you. They have you with a support group online, but some of the states that I went to, I think a few of them got together and did their own support groups, but many of the states that I went to did not have a support group, and I don't know of any straight wife support groups in Atlanta. So one of the things I'm interested in doing is starting a support group in Atlanta.
And I think that's wonderful, and I'll be announcing that in the upcoming newsletter and letting women from that area know. But how do people get in touch with you? What's the best way?
The best way to get in touch with me is by calling me at 404-490-2056.
How about emailing you?
I'm sorry, it's 2058. Let me repeat that. 404.
Before people start calling you at 3 o'clock in the morning, how about just email Dr. Bowden?
That's fine because it will go. Well, they can also email me. So let me repeat the number because the last number I gave incorrectly was 404-490-2058. But I also can be reached at Maggie Bonet at Petrichor. counseling.com. So that's MaggieBonnet at Petrichor, PetriChor counseling.com.
And I'll put that information in this broadcast and also on, you know, my newsletter this month, so that when people read the broadcast in the next hour, they'll have all your information of how to get in touch with you. And I think a support group would be wonderful. I mean, there are maybe support groups in the area, but, you know, you're an experienced professional therapist. So I know from the women that I got the feedback with who worked with you, you know, a couple of years ago, there's not even words that I can give you that they told me. You know, it's getting annoying after a while. People will just call me and say, oh, I got to tell you about Maggie. Okay, I already know about her. You know, but the calls kept coming in, and like I'm saying, oh, you know, I felt like, you know, you took such personal interest in each one of these women, and I know you would do that as a therapist, too. I mean, nobody I know ever received the kind of feedback that you were getting, and that's why I feel so excited that, you know, you're out there now, you're doing therapy in this area, and Atlanta has a lot of sub-areas, so you're not that far away. Now, are you allowed to do other kinds of counseling by phone or Skype within your area?
Currently, I am not certified in telemental health, so I don't have any telemental health right now. So I will do phone counseling. I will not do Skype counseling, and it still is within the Georgia, anywhere within the state of Georgia. If someone needed to do some phone counseling, I would do that. But Skype, I have not been certified, yes.
But if you're in the Atlanta area or in the Georgia area, you certainly can do it. So you don't have to actually always be there, you know, if you can't be, if you're 3 hours or 4 hours away, because Georgia's a big state, right?
Exactly. So someone can always, you know, they can always call in. Even with the support group, I'd be open to someone calling in and joining our support group. But as far as counseling with regards to, because there are so many rules with getting certified as telemental health, and that hasn't happened as of yet, but that will soon be coming in terms of being certified to provide telemental health within the state of Georgia.
So, Maggie, before we have to go, because I can't believe it, but our time is almost up.
Yes.
This was a very fast hour. I just want you to confirm your thoughts with this, that if you're in a relationship like this and you can finally get out of the relationship, you can't just jump into your next relationship. You need to get some help first because of the fact that if you don't get help, your chances are of finding another destructive relationship, maybe not with a gay man. But as you were saying, these are good women and people who have, you know, all these personality disorders know how to look for you. You're vulnerable to start with, and going through counseling and therapy is such a way to boost yourself up so you're not willing to settle again. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree with that, Bonnie. You do have to rebuild yourself before you move forward. You have to try to become complete and whole once again before you move forward. Otherwise, you do risk attracting the same kind of people, whether it be emotional abuse, physical,
uh-huh.
verbal, sexual abuse. The tendency of getting somebody in who's gonna with whom you're gonna be in an unhealthy relationship is much greater if you don't take care of yourself.
Yes, and that's why I say, you know, you have to first learn to love yourself, because a lot of times after these marriages, you don't love yourself very much. You know, you've lost yourself, and whoever you became, you don't like. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of self-esteem building and the right help and the right therapist to help put you on track. And I know that you, Maggie, will certainly be able to do that for our women. I'm just hoping that you'll be kind enough to do the show again in a few months, give an update, and maybe we could talk about some of the ways that women can rebuild themselves to get started in case they're not in your area. That would be wonderful.
Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the encouragement from the women and the feedback that you've gotten and shared with me. And I will be honored. I would be honored to come back, and I will be honored to work with the women in the Georgia area.
Oh, that's wonderful. And like I say, I'll put it in our upcoming newsletter that I'll send you a copy of. And, you know, hopefully it will generate some interest for people getting better, because I know with being in your hands, that certainly will happen. So are you from the Atlanta area originally?
I am actually from Boston. I was raised in Boston. I was born in Haiti, raised
okay.
in Boston. So my entire childhood or young adulthood is in Boston. And I migrated to Atlanta about 14 years ago.
How do you like it?
I actually like it. Boston is still home, but I do like Atlanta quite a lot. So I think it is definitely becoming home for me, too.
Yes, I lived there for a short minute in Decatur for a while. But that was many
okay.
years ago when I was young. When I was young, so you imagine how many years ago that was. But, yeah, in Decatur.
Well, you would have to come visit, and I would love to host you.
That would be wonderful. I'm going to really think about that. I really will. So to all of our listeners, I want you to have a wonderful week. I know that springtime is coming. It must make you feel better just to get some warm weather. Are you having any cold weather left down there?
We had an amazing 70-plus degree day, and tomorrow we're looking forward to 80 degrees. So the spring has come in, and it's absolutely gorgeous here.
Yeah, it was beautiful here today, too, but they said snow overnight, so I don't know what to say. It's a mix, but hopefully, like I say, it's going to end soon. All right, to all of our listeners, wherever you are, happy holidays to you, and I'll be back here next week with you on the Straight Wives Talk Show. Love to you, Maggie. Thank you so much for being here.
Love to you, and peace to you, Bonnie. Thank you for having me.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.